Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hour 2, G-Bag Nation 105.3, The Fan. What a monster sports Friday we have to talk about with you over the next 2 hours. Rangers pregame coming up at 5 o'clock as they visit the Tigers. And you're probably thinking, well, Detroit's probably bad, so this is a great time to get it turned around. But they've been hot, okay? Been a pretty good team. So Rangers are going to have to play good on both sides here. They're going to have to hit it well. They're going to have to pitch it well in order to get the victories. And we'll hope for the best. Okay, General at your service. There's Broadus, Lucius, Chiafalo. And Woolchuck's out actually two more shows. He'll be back on Tuesday, making the most out of a family vacation there. Yeah, speaking of family vacation, was playing with the little one today, Brian. Let me see if I can show the webcam exactly what I was doing here. So we're playing this game called Supergirl, you know, that she's been asking
for. Okay.
This is where she's a hero.
Yeah. So I basically, like, I pick her up like this, and then she kind of sits down on this arm, and then I cradle her around so she can be, like, laying on my arms.
So it's like, right? Flying, right?
Yeah, like she's flying, and then she, you know, she puts her arms out like she's flying, and then I go back and then forward. Well, this motion right here, right, it pinched a nerve where, like, the shoulder meets the neck.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
And, you know, it...
That's a vulnerable area.
At first, I was like, wait, was that... Did I get hurt? You know, did I just pull my rotator cuff or something? And I was like, well, let's do it one more time. It's probably nothing. And then the next time.
Oh, no, man.
Even worse.
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
The first time you're supposed to stop breathing, stop moving, and just try to get yourself back into whatever place you were in.
Oh, geez. I wish I would have known that advice. If I was a pitcher, I'd probably at least be on the 10-day IL right now. They might be looking at having to shut me down for half a season or something like that.
So did you put her down and go to one knee to kind of show her that, hey, we can't play Supergirl anymore?
Yes,
because,
I did.
Because I'm sure she was excited to be part of Supergirl, but then Dad suffers injury, and now Dad has to explain, we can't do Supergirl anymore.
Daddy's not so super after
so
all.
So did you act like you were really in pain?
Yes,
cat's
hurting,
out of the bag now,
maybe
sugar.
Fake some tears in your eyes?
See, because she's complaining that last flight wasn't that good. She's like, Dad, you didn't throw me that far because we're really trying to get, you know, good height and good distance across the master bed, you know, in the scintilla.
So it's a landing on
the bed. Such a fun thing.
Okay, I see what we're doing here. All right.
Yeah, so she was immediately wondering why I had a bad throw, and I'm like, oh, geez, no more Supergirl. You know, Daddy, we got a shoulder situation. And then, yes, over the next, like, 30 minutes, it's like building. I'm like, crap, this might be really bad. I think I might be through the worst of it, but... But yeah, it's definitely going to be a Supergirl free weekend.
Ibuprofen?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's what it might be. That's why I might be feeling better. Actually, I took three of them. You know, and I was going to go with another here in just a couple of more hours, but hopefully I don't need it. Okay, Stars and Jets game 2 tonight. Ibuprofen will be, you know, necessary after this game, no doubt.
You're not supposed to take many of those, right?
Not for more than like 2 weeks in a row. Yeah.
Is that the rule? I thought it was.
You got to give yourself a break on those.
What is it, like, attack your kidneys or something like that? Or your livers? What is it? Bad for liver?
Yeah.
You've been putting yourself a lot of work, too, with the soda and the. Man, you put the work in, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's why.
Super liver.
That's why I like to drink a lot of water.
Super,
you know?
Yeah, super liver, bro. Years of beer drinking, Diet Cokes.
Yeah.
Now mad Advils.
I used to joke that I was a one-man beer processing plant.
Have you thought about donating your body to science?
Yeah, jeez. Yeah, amongst other things. But yeah. I'm doing better thanks to ibuprofen. Nolan Ryan, a big ibuprofen fan. You know?
But I just wondered, though, I always heard there was something to do with, like, the liver.
No, you're right. You're right.
Kidneys or something like that.
Yeah, you should definitely give your body a break
from it.
Mess
up your stomach lining or something.
Yes, I think that might be acetaminophen that can give you ulcers and stuff like that if you take those too much or with an empty stomach.
Don't be a knucklehead.
I was just making sure that, you know, you made the injury sound really serious so she wouldn't be disappointed in dad and lack of Supergirl.
You know, that is a very important component, is making sure the little one knows that, it's bad.
Oh, dad's hurt.
Yeah.
Dad's really hurt here.
And, we're going to have to think of some new games here for a little bit. Okay. I think this, this Stars series is looking real good right now. Heggie mentioned at the break, it's now -360 if you want to bet on the Stars on the money line to win the series. That would be having to bet $360 cash to win $100. So you would get $460 back. Nice little knot. I don't think I'd bet it right now, just not, worth the squeeze.
Yeah, agreed. I wouldn't do that now either. But I do love that they're favored that much.
Yeah.
That's how much respect that they have for the Stars right now.
And that surprised me. It is just one game. And the road team wins a lot.
Yeah, but I do think Winnipeg at home, like Winnipeg losing at home is huge.
Really?
Because they've been so good at home. And with the way they looked in that first series, not great. And the Stars being shorthanded, beating a team that the books also had a ton of respect for in the Avalanche. So now two series going, or a series plus a game now, where the Stars look like, man, this really is a wagon.
It is. And I expect the Stars to win tonight. I might be surprised. I think the desperate team theory is going to come into play, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah,
like, you're going to get Winnipeg's best punch for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
The story in South Central Canada today, Winnipeg just north of North Dakota, by the way. The story up there is that, the playoffs are a roller coaster. You got to be patient. You got to be tough. And they felt like we're the best team in hockey and our season finished great and all that. And we survived a scare. And now we're back into this holy crap. But they're trying to tell themselves that, hey, we were sloppy. We were centimeters away from tying it there towards the end of regulation, even when we didn't play our best game. So we're going to go out here and then, go down to Dallas and try to get a split and regain home ice advantage. So that's what the Winnipeg folks are thinking and saying to me. A lot of this comes down to special teams. And with the Stars scoring so much on their power play and being so amazing, I mean, it's 0-for-4 in game one after successfully killing 88% of them in the previous round. I don't know. I don't expect those trends to change much. I guess the Jets had a pretty good power play all season, but I don't know how many playoff teams have ever been on a run like the Stars are right now.
Yeah.
The Jets were the best power play unit in the league this year. Hmm. They were the best, yeah.
I would imagine the Morrissey factor.
Morrissey coming back is going to help them a lot.
Their offense is going to probably get back to much more of the version it was in the regular season.
Yeah.
So the level of difficulty certainly is getting cranked up tonight with the return of Morrissey.
Okay. All right. That's definitely something good to know and good to look out for as they become 100% healthy. The Stars will not quite yet, as Miro Heiskanen is still out. More history for Rantanen. He set a record for the most consecutive team goal contributions in Stanley Cup playoff history. It's at 12. The previous mark was Mario Lemieux in 1992. He had 9. So you're racing past Lemieux, and that thing's still alive, right? Yeah, nobody else has had a goal. So maybe we get to 13, 14, 15 here before this streak is over. I don't know if anybody will ever catch it. Rangers are back in action tonight again at 5:00. Some fun news with a signing here. The Korean Ohtani has been inked. Korean two-way star Kim Sung-jun, 18-year-old Rangers get in, Brian.
Whoa.
Now, the signing bonus, just $1 million. So he's the Korean Ohtani, but he's really not even close. He's more like the Korean Joey Gallo.
Oh.
Yeah. Now he's got plenty of time to develop, hopefully. I mean, if that's his ceiling, I totally understand why taking a chance on this dude. And at just 18 years old, whatever, I mean, regarded as Korea's best high school baseball player. So I mean, I like taking a flyer on a guy like that.
Yeah, and $1 million is a significant chunk of change in that international pool.
So you said Kim
Sung June.
June.
Not to be confused with
Sung, like
Sung S U N G.
Okay, and then June. I'm asking my guys around the league to see right on. We get a little scouting report on him before we get out of here.
That'd be nice. Yeah. 16 team college football playoff bracket gaining support in the Big Ten and the SEC per Ross Dellinger. Could we get this immediately? We're turning things around a lot more quickly in college football than in my lifetime when it, you know, turned corners like a barge, like an aircraft carrier.
Yeah. I need to read into it to see exactly when. I guess it would begin in 2026.
Okay, I'll take it. That sounds
so. This would be the final year of the current iteration.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of staying flexible. Like, you don't need to lock into something like the BCS for 10 years where you're married to something. Let's be flexible. Let's make sure we're getting enough teams in because this was a massive hit, a massive improvement already. Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, reportedly banned from UNC's football facility was first story I saw when I woke up. It's false, Brian?
It's false, yeah.
Not totally banned.
They've come out there and said that like they've dunked on the report. I guess Pablo Torre
had it. Yeah,
he has a podcast called Pablo Torre Finds Out.
Okay,
which is basically Pablo Torre snitches his balls off,
uh-huh.
and he's still standing by it. He's like, listen, I got this firsthand from somebody super high. Like everybody's thinking this was the athletic director who he got this news from, but they have since come out and said, hey, that's not true.
I asked Mike Lombardi, and Mike said, no, it's not true. The report's not true.
But the whole thing, I mean, I actually listened to the podcast because he had some interesting things and nuggets.
He snitches on people?
You got details
coming
up?
Well, I mean, he's a journalist. He's like investigating. No, I just, I mean, so he's doing his job, and he's uncovered some pretty fun things over the last year or so that he's done this podcast. But I was like, okay, I'm pretty interested in what this one has to say. And I mean, there's stuff about that CBS interview that he did Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Like he's mic'd up, she's pulled him to the side, she's ticked off, and like she doesn't realize that they can all hear through the microphone of what's being said, and she's just ripping everything about basically the entire production.
Oh no.
And so that was one of the things. There's like another commercial that was made that she strong armed her way in with like a polka dot bikini thing at a pool, and she's trying to be a part of it, but they just obliged her but didn't actually even film it.
Oh,
they
geez.
Acted like they were filming her to like make her feel like, okay, we're good.
Okay.
Then they didn't. This according to the podcast. And then at one point, one of her, I believe we actually have this clip of Pablo where he's reading a direct quote here of what one person who knows her very well says about her.
She is the worst person I've ever met, and I've worked with multiple sociopaths.
End quote.
Okay.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean, in worst case scenario, like Belichick has one of those, what was that, Lucius? That was the Dirk situation there when he almost got married.
Yeah, a little scammer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe you got a sociopath scammer on your hands. You know, maybe it's just a gal who, you know, can't help but make herself the focal point in the center of everything.
The wild women.
Making it all about her. You know, maybe Belichick's trying to empower her to, like, chase her dreams. And he's just kind of overstepping his bounds, which, you know, New England let him do for about the last 15 years of his career. So, you know, I don't know, you know, how bad this is, but it seems to me like it's just the word banned, the semantics of that UNC is probably denying. They probably have made some moves to very seriously address this, and they just don't want to put the word banned on it, but there is a very restrictive new set of rules, I would imagine.
I think you've nailed that. Okay. Absolutely. I think she's hypnotized.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, and that would make sense. You know, possible succubus situation.
And Bill likes it. He loves it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a...
Y'all seen him on the beach, bro. The man likes that shit. Man, he likes that, bro. My man's legs was up in the air with the girl in the Superman pose, dog.
Yeah.
He didn't even know those photos were on Instagram.
I know.
What do you mean? Photos on the beach? Okay.
Those photos we're talking
about? What are you talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, he's having a grand old time.
I mean, it's a big win for him. It's a big win for her, you know?
Big win.
He just needs to find a school that is willing to accept that up front.
I just didn't think he was the type of guy to put it on the pedestal like that.
Thoughts and prayers, bro.
Gets the best of us, you know?
It sure does. Yeah. Drop a bomb on that one.
especially for an older generation. I'm speaking in generalities, but in an older generation where maybe you did get married right out of college, you know, you didn't maybe have the time to, you know, have a life experience that would, you know, teach you the ways of, you know, and why you have to draw firm lines in the sand and how you could be manipulated. Like, once you've gone through the dating world of your 20s and 30s, you've been on the ride, you've seen everything, and you're aware of all the different profiles of the ladies that you could date, right? So you can see a manipulator, a sociopath coming a mile away. But if you're Belichick, you marry out of college, then you marry the game of football, right?
Yeah.
You don't have any of those life experiences. So here at the age of damn near 70, you're making young man mistakes out here.
And he always did a better job with the pro scouting than the college prospects. You know, like, this isn't even the age demo that he's done well with. Like, once you hit 29-30, all of a sudden Belichick can get something out of you.
He also knows
at 24 he drafts you, and this ain't gonna probably work out all that well. That's just a track record.
You're dead balls
trends
on right.
And properties.
Yep. Nailed it. We got the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. Take a look at what's going on with America's team.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty city-friendly Trax. Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together. Let's drive.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
And next year in the nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time for the C-Note. How good of a job have the Cowboys done this offseason as a whole? What grade would you give it? Plus, we have audio Michael Irvin on George Pickens coming to you here in just a second. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Okay, Blogging the Boys ran the poll. Okay, what grade would you give the Cowboys offseason? I voted B. B is winning with 49% of the vote. But guess what, though? A's getting 39% of the vote right here.
Wow.
I don't know if I could quite call it an A because you still have some holes on the team. But I'd say it's a pretty dang good job considering what they spent. I think a job for dollar spent's an A++.
Yeah, I mean, they do the bargain bin thing, and they will come away with some value. And if you're grading it on a cowboy curve in terms of the way they usually conduct their offseason business and acquisitions, I would say it probably is a B. But if you're grading it on actual championship standards, you're probably talking about a C.
Yeah, I would say that is fair. We're looking at you guys. You know, I think they've definitely done enough to get people talking, get people excited about something new to the team.
Yeah.
But not enough to convince the folks that go over it with a fine tooth comb like we do and y'all do out there in the audience looking for confirmation that they finally get how good of a team you have to build if you do want to win the Super Bowl. Until then, they probably don't deserve an A. Brian, what grade would you give them?
I had him with, I broke it down two ways. I went with the A on the execution of it, of going out and trying to, you know, whether it was the trades, whether it was free agent signings, they were trying to actually be a front office that was working 24/7. So I give them an A for that. After the draft, I thought it was just kind of a B draft. In day three, there was, and this is the selfish side of me because I want them to draft the players I like. And they draft the players that they want. And, you know, I hope that they're right and I'm wrong. I'm okay with that. But there was some picks there that they made late, but I think it was a B. But now that you add Pickens to it, I would take that from a B to a B+.
Nice.
When it came to now adding talent to, I really do like these linebackers that they've added. You know, I think that's going to be something that, you know, we were talking about it a little bit yesterday, but I do like the guys that they have. Or that they're going to be working with right now. We'll see how the Florida kid plays out. I think his instincts needs to be a little bit better. But if you're talking about like a Will linebacker, guys that can run, guys that can make tackles, I would go from a B to like a B+ with the what they did with the roster additions.
The only thing I would add about the George Pickens acquisition that we're going to hear Michael Irvin is that it's still another trade where they're not really going hard at the goal. It's perfect because his salary is still so low because he's on his rookie contract. It's $3.5 million. So we're willing to trade for Cooks. We're willing to trade for Gilmore. And the problem is if you have five holes on your team and three of those perfect trades have materialized over the last three off seasons, you're going to average maybe one a year, although it feels like they're coming pretty fast and heavy here recently, that you can't snap your fingers and reach out into the trade market and make these kinds of things happen. Like, oh, wow, we can get Stephon Gilmore. Sure, he's a little past his prime, but look at his salary compared to the top of the market, right? That's what I'm talking about with the perfect kind of value trades that fall in their lap. Pittsburgh is so frustrated with this other world star that they're actually willing to just let us have them for a 3 and a 5 instead of recouping the comp pick in the future that they would themselves get, you know? And we don't have to make much of a financial commitment to get there. So as exciting as it is, you're going to need to make the financial commitment in order to win the Super Bowl. I don't think you can get in there trying to go cheapskate. Here we go. Here's a playmaker, Michael Irvin, with his thoughts on the acquisition of Pickens.
It's a freak out. He can make plays that very few people that ever put on a pair of shoulder pads and helmet can make. You add that to what the Dallas Cowboys have right now. It is what I have sat there. It's what I have talked about. And obviously, they over there were watching me because they got exactly what we need. We're back in the fight. You ain't got to ask me the question. Does this put them back in the fight? We're back in the fight.
And I don't know a fight for the playoffs. You know, I think
Michael,
no real realistic chance at the playoffs. I think that's certainly on the table now.
I think division's still going to be tough. I like the addition of Pickens, though. I really, really do.
Absolutely.
And I think the draft that they had and you know, hopefully Dak will come back healthy. They've really got to find a way to the left tackle. They got to figure out the running game, too. You know, and if they don't, if this just turns into a team trying to throw the football, this could be a long year.
Yeah.
Could be a long year. So to me, I think we always talk about balance and all that. Even if it's 60-40 pass run, they've got to find a way to help Dak that way. But adding Pickens, you know, is something that we've kind of asked them to do. I've said this. I think they added a player who's established like Pickens, which very similar would have been what they were trying to get with McMillan from Arizona. Very similar in the type of the ability to go get the football. Now, you have this guy only for 1 year. For Tet McMillan, you'd likely have had him for 5 years, you know. So we'll see how that all shapes out.
Okay, elsewhere here in the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening, where we look at everything making headlines around the internet with America's team. Chase Daniels saying it's make or break for Dak now that he has Pickens. I don't know. I do feel like the end could be near for Dak if he gets hurt. I mean, if he went out there and played horribly, I guess the organization would have to consider it. But he's still young enough and has accomplished so much. He's already made it, you know? The break it would be when it's time for Dak to retire. I think it is make or break for quite a few guys on the team, but Dak wouldn't be the top guy on my list. Brian, what do you think?
Oh, I think there's some make and break, clearly with the Dak thing. But I think there's some lower level make and break though too. When you start to talk about the one technique with the Mozzie Smiths and stuff like that, I think
Schoonmaker,
maybe even Diggs a little bit as well.
Oh yeah, sure. There's a good make or break. So, yeah.
I think there's a couple of spots you could look at.
I mean, it seems like the coaches really like Terrence Steele. Like, this is the most coachable guy the Cowboys have had in a long time.
He has to be happy because he got that coach out of the building that wasn't a big fan of his.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, you know, Mike Solari, you know, he went from Joe Philbin, who Joe Philbin thought the world of him, to Mike Solari, who really didn't think all that much of him, to now, hey, maybe having an opportunity. This is going to be a worth the study, too, because this is the third offensive line coach this group's had. You know, and they've got some guys, they've got some young guys that have now going into their second or third coaches.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously make or break for Jalen Tolbert, any wide receiver, not named CD and Pickens, the linebackers, Murray and Sanborn, the safeties, Wilson and Hooker. I'm surprised they're still rolling with Wilson and Hooker at safety. One of the takeaways in the print media yesterday following Pickens is how many times he mentioned culture. Yeah. Is this the coaching staff talking this up?
I think what's happened is, I think this is a bright guy in this way. I think he's done a lot of research and reading on his new team. And I think that he's probably watched some press conferences, or maybe he's tuned into some podcasts, or just read some words along the way, where the common theme, you could chat GPT this thing and you say Dallas Cowboys culture, and then you can get a whole litany of information. I think he's done some reading about that, or listened to some people talk about it and how important it is.
He might already talk to the offensive coaches about it as well.
Well,
you know?
He might have talked to David Mulligetta, his agent.
Yeah.
And David said, listen, you know, this team is a big push. I could tell you from Micah Parsons, my experience with them, this is the big push they're making right now. So if we go in there and have he it's very important for him, because his situation is he's got to prove to people that he is not this guy that everybody's talking about him is as being a hard guy to work with.
Yeah.
And so you can't be a guy that's, you know, like, you can't be, if he's just an okay player for Dallas, but the word gets out that he's hard to deal with, nobody will pay him.
Yeah, it's a big win for him if he could prove that I'm an integral piece of the culture change in Dallas. That's the one way you would say, hey, let's do what it takes to keep Pickens.
Yeah.
You know, we had a bad culture, and now, like, at some point, Dez really learned how to harness that energy and enthusiasm and passion for the game to get people excited around him.
Yeah.
And you know, if you can make that transition with this team, I know what C.D. Lamb is, you know, when it comes to the culture stuff. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a me guy. And you've seen that in, you know, the way that he's reacted during times of adversity. Your personality really rises to the top. If I'm Mulligetta, I'm thinking, dude, go be Dak's guy and be the guy that rallies everybody instead of sulking about your lack of targets.
Yeah,
that's what the team needs. Dak needs help rallying.
He needs an image switch.
Yeah,
because everybody thinks that he's a very, very selfish guy. And that he's hard to get along with and hard to be a teammate with. And so Mulligetta is probably doing a thing like, listen, man, we have got to find a way not to be that guy. You've got to be on your best behavior and do everything you can so we can get a bigger contract at this time next year.
That's what Brad Townsend wrote about in the morning news. The headline with focus on present George Pickens hits all the right notes in his Cowboys introduction. And yeah, he just went through how every topic, I mean, from the culture to the contract to Lamb to Prescott to the Steelers to accountability to appreciation. I mean, everything was right on. And I appreciated his ability to be succinct as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not looking at a word salad with perfect answers. We're working at, you know, perfect sound bites. That's a TV friendly guy. Wide receiver duo rankings. Bleacher Report's Christopher Knox has Dallas at number 6. And maybe penalizing Dallas for a potential bust factor surrounding Pickens. Is there a bust factor in there? You think?
Oh, the only bust factor is if the fact that he just completely loses all sense of, you know, he's always going to be competitive. The talent is there, but if he loses that desire to play at that high level, if in fact he feels like this isn't working out, that's your bust factor. It's not going to be on ability.
How about the penalties? How big of a problem was that in the film that you reviewed?
He will taunt the heck out of anybody he catches a ball on.
Okay.
So there's always that. Yeah.
I think actually our buddy Brandon Laurie had the inside scoop on this. Accepted penalties for George Pickens since 2022. In 2022, he had 5. 7 wide receivers had more or were tied with him in that number. 2023, he had 4 penalties that were accepted. 12 wide receivers had more or tied. And then last year, he had 4 penalties again. 19 wide receivers had more or tied.
Not bad.
So I do think he's specific to the unsportsmanlike, though.
He will,
and they're a little bit more, like, obvious.
They're high profile.
And, yeah, exactly.
People talk about him on Mondays.
He will taunt in a heartbeat.
He'll punch a DB, what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
He'll
absolutely
punch a DB. Might choke slam a dude.
Yeah, I think one of the big concerns might
passionate,
be a broken hand.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Competitive.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
Lunch pill guy.
That's right.
I think Scouting it's hilarious.
Lucius is the best.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a coach that's seriously worried about discipline and penalties, you're probably going to be highly annoyed. And I think in Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin has been trying to reset the agenda that we're done with guys like this after the front office has been giving him a lot of them over the years. He's trying to change that trend in Pittsburgh. So he's going to let you have him in his final year. I mean, contract years are typically the most productive. You're still very young, and you got to be dialed from the day the previous season ends until training camp. You're laser focused on getting that big veteran contract more than you've ever been. Okay, where are we going next, Brian?
Well, I've got some things that are discussions about team building and what we learned from the draft. We'll do that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Here we go. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. And Eric Nadell's coming up here at the top of the hour. We're going to talk Rangers with Eric. It's time now, though, for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much. No, appreciate that. Real quick, I got a scouting report on our 18-year-old Korean pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Okay, two-way player, as we talked about. I can do this real quick, right?
Yeah.
Two-way player would have been the top pick in the KBO draft. I guess that's Korean Baseball Organization draft. Most see him as a pitcher, but he also wants to hit. He's a right-handed pitcher. His fastball is like between 89 and 92. His slider's 79 to 80, and his changeup's right around 81. I asked my guy, I said, well, okay, great. He's pitching. How does he hit? He says, it's okay. He plays shortstop when he's not pitching. He wants to do both. The Rangers probably agreed to let him try, but most people see him as a pitcher only. They call him the Korean Ohtani. Stuff is just a PR from his agents.
Okay.
He's not Ohtani on either side. This team had a value of him about, Rangers spent $1 million, right?
Yeah.
This team had a value of him for about $500K.
Okay.
Where they had him. So Rangers probably paid a little more to get the guy, but they, and a lot of teams look at him, we're looking at him as a pitcher first, and then maybe a hitter second, but the Ohtani stuff will probably not.
I think they had like extra money from saving up when they whiffed on Sasaki.
Yeah.
So the Rangers had excess they were able to throw more at.
I thought they made a trade or something and got some money, got some international money too.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was part of that was probably kicking in, but that's just the initial report from a scout buddy of mine. Actually saw him play. So hopefully maybe we'll hear the name here again before long. All right, there's a couple of things that we learned, and these are from Pro Football Focus. I thought they were really interesting. Some things that we learned from the actual NFL draft and in regards to team building.
Sweet.
Team building.
Trends.
And this is they have headings, and then I'll kind of read through some of the different avenues here. It said the first one they had was traits still drive quarterback evaluations, but teams are showing more patience. And they're saying this because Shedeur Sanders became arguably the biggest story of the 2025 draft, falling to the fifth round despite being widely considered a top 50 talent. His slide was largely attributed to lack of elite physical traits and reporting character concerns, both which raise red flags for teams evaluating long-term potential. The league sent two clear messages in how the quarterback market played out, particularly with only three quarterbacks selected inside the first 50 picks. First, in an era where dual-threat quarterbacks are thriving, NFL teams are still giving priority to high-end physical tools. The first four quarterbacks selected all showcased the most desirable combinations of athletic ability and arm strength, traits that remain the cornerstone of how teams evaluate potential franchise signal callers.
Either be a tough runner or a good escape artist.
Yeah. Yeah. Second, it's evident that NFL teams simply did not view this class as particularly strong beyond Cam Ward. The Giants traded back into the first round to select Jackson Dart, but the cost, 2 third-round picks, including one in 2026, suggested it wasn't a market-driven move. It's possible they were preempting Cleveland, but the Browns ultimately waited until the end of the third round to draft a quarterback.
So there's none of this, we're going to overdraft because we need a quarterback really bad.
Right.
It's like, if you're elite, you're going high, but after that, we'll let it come to us.
Yeah, and the final example of this one is New Orleans, once projected to take a quarterback as high as 9th overall, felt comfortable waiting until pick 40 to draft Tyler Shuck. Sanders was still on the board, but Shuck's stronger arm and greater mobility aligned more closely with the traits that the Saints made a priority.
I think they're smart. You know, I think fear of losing their guy drove this demand where it was overvalued, and we've seen so many first-round busts for the last 20 years. It was just a matter of time before it corrected.
Eric, this one's for you.
Here we go.
Running the ball is back in vogue, and defenses must respond. 10 of the top 13 teams in run play percentage made the postseason in 2024. Including the Philadelphia Eagles, who won the Super Bowl as the only team to run more than they passed. On the flip side, the Kansas City Chiefs were the only team in the bottom 10 in run rate to make the playoffs, highlighting the growing importance of the ground game balance. Free agent additions like Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, and Josh Jacobs reinforced the value of offensive balance. The rise of dual-threat quarterbacks has also supercharged rush efficiency. Baltimore, Buffalo, and Washington led the NFL in EPA per rush last season, with Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Jaden Daniels steering those offenses. The challenges for defenses is that all three quarterbacks are also capable passers, making it harder to load the box without getting burned through the air. Philadelphia's defense, which set the standard for stopping the run with lighter boxes, showcased a possible solution. They led the NFL in run defensive grade, which, when playing from a too high shell, schematic trend other teams are now working to replicate.
You have to have awesome defenders.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to have beasts on the D-line and at linebacker.
Well, here you go. The emphasis was evident in the 2025 draft after Abdul Carter went third, and the next five defensive linemen selected were strong run defenders. Defensive tackles Mason Graham and Walter Nolan posted the top two run defense grades among FBS interior linemen last season, while Kenneth Grant ranked 13th. The next two edge defenders drafted after Carter, Mykel Williams and Shamar Stewart, also were better against the run than they were the pass. Both were top 25 in run defense grades, but ranked outside the top 150 when it came to pass rush. So teams are looking more at the running game stuff there.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's a good adjustment to be making, especially with how the trends got with such fast defense preoccupied with stopping the pass. Again, the pendulum has swung back. But what I would say to this argument that we've been having here in sports radio for a long time is, the answer is not necessarily to throw top of the market money at running backs.
Mm-hmm.
It's to make sure you have the right coaches. It's to make sure you have good offensive lines. Mm-hmm. And now defensive tackles and linebackers are experiencing a resurgence, maybe more than the running back spot.
Yeah, I think we got really light for a few years.
Yeah.
Light. And I don't mean light the box. I mean light as far as the style of player. And I think it reflected, too, with some of the best pass rushers, too, in this draft were guys that were the Mike Greens and Ezeraku, who with the Cowboys here are really not big guys, but more lighter guys. So, and then where Mykel Williams is a much bigger guy, but not the pass rusher. So if teams, you know, you got to determine which one you're going to do. You're going to defend the run or you're going to rush the passer, you know. So,
yeah, and a team like the Niners were awful at stopping the run last year.
Yeah.
So they needed a guy like Mykel Williams on the edge.
Exactly.
They have the Bosa to go get after the quarterback. But, yeah, you can't be bottom of the barrel when it comes to stopping the run, especially not now.
There's no such thing as too many weapons in the passing game is the next heading. NFL franchises seem to have brought into the fact that the glut of weaponry in the passing game is as valuable as their best weapon. Building an offense with multiple dynamic receiving weapons, such as the Eagles or Cincinnati Bengals, leads to a litany of matchup problems for opposing defenses.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars exemplified this mindset in 2025 draft by making the first major move by trading up for Travis Hunter. Despite some defensive needs and pass protection issues, the Jaguars were vocal about viewing Hunter as a rare two-way talent, as an offensive weapon first, and now he'll be paired with Brian Thomas Jr. to form one of the league's most electric young receiving duos.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. If this is the trend and the Cowboys are jumping in, you're going to have to re-sign Pickens then. You can't let this guy go. You just got him. It's the new trend. The Cowboys are on a new trend for the first time in my life, Chief. Maybe the first time since the 90s. Lock him up.
Getting ahead of things.
Getting ahead of things here, but we're okay. Hey, the Chicago Bears took a similar approach, aggressively adding to their arsenal after addressing the offensive line in free agency. While some expected them to target a tight end and early in the draft, they grabbed Michigan's Colston Loveland. Man, I thought that was a little bit of a reach there, but hey, they like the player, so that's the way it is. But in the first round, they were rewarded with Missouri's Luther Burden III, fell to them, who Dallas really, really was hoping would fall to them at 44. Both players have ranked among the top slot receivers in college football since 2023. A major upgrade for the Bears offense that finished 29th in slot receiving grade last year. And Caleb Williams suddenly finds himself surrounded by a deep and versatile receiving group.
There's just not a ton of good corners, you know?
Yeah.
If you got two good receivers and a tight end or a slot, you're likely going to find some great matchups.
And to be fair, they did build their offensive line out, right? I mean, they made some moves, free agency, trades, stuff like that. And they also have a guy pulling the strings in Ben Johnson who knows how to spread the wealth and utilize multiple weapons. I don't think every coach really knows how to handle it when they got five or six guys that you can really lean on like that.
And we might get a good look at these Bears early in the season,
that's
Brian.
What they're talking about. I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll maybe – week one, I don't know. There seems like a lot going on there. But real quick, if I can make one final point, real quick. Meanwhile, teams like the Jets, Steelers, Titans may struggle in 2025 due to their lack of depth at wide receiver. Each team relies heavily on a single passing threat, which makes them far easier to game plan against.
Salute to Dave Swavey, Guns and Hoses. Ah. Just saw him up here on 11. Been a while. But he's up visiting. Always good to see him. Salute to you, sir. Looking good out there, too. Fighting shape.
Yep.
You know, looking good. Look at that. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, it's time for our Friday conversation with Rangers Hall of Fame voice Eric Nadell. We'll chat Rangers baseball with him coming up next here on The Fan.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.